Jesus is good. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
All right. Let's quickly take our declaration of understanding. Then we'll study a bit and continue praying. One, two, let's go. Now I declare.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Please, let's take our seats for some time. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles again to the book of Psalms, Psalm 51, which we read last time. Psalm 51, I'll read it to us together. We read it last time, but let me just read it out today. Psalm number 51. David said, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I will give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering." In verse 17 it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Let me stop reading in verse 17 there. The Lord is good. There's a way our things are in kingdom. Well, we tend to teach in series. So last Tuesday was supposed to be part of this, but we had to move it to another, what we call keys of the kingdom, because we didn't do the school of prayer teaching that particular day. So we are going to try, God helping us, to go back and continue our teaching in school of prayer. Okay, so this will be the second day, therefore, in our teaching series, which we have captioned, "Praying Thy Kingdom Come." That's the caption, "Praying Thy Kingdom Come." And what does that mean? The kingdom of God must come, but the first place it must be birthed in is in our lives, not outside. We talk about seven mountain prophecy. I've heard that, you know, we talked about it the other day. We have mountains of this, mountain of governance, mountain of business, entertainment, and all kinds of mountains that we must take for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's good. It's a good thought. However, many times people forget where things start from. He said judgment must begin where? In the house of God. In the same manner, in your own personal life, the kingdom must come into your life first of all, until you have been turned totally into the kingdom of God in your own life. You cannot be one that will go and take kingdoms outside. You can't be. And many things that people try to do, they are actually easy and natural consequences of somebody who is filled with the spirit of the overcomer, that is the overcoming spirit of God, if it's in the person's life, you'll be amazed at what can happen easily, that is automatically. That is, what we are supposed to do is birth the kingdom of God in ourselves totally first, before we start going outside to go and take over the kingdom of entertainment. Many people are trying to take over the kingdom of entertainment. What is pushing them is self-glory. It is covetousness. They don't know, but because they are in church and somebody said they can take over this kingdom, they now engineer, you know, they use prayer and everything to try and engineer a takeover of the kingdom for the Lord when the Lord has not taken them over themselves. So the first thing, we use prayer for, therefore, before we start going outside to launch out and take over kingdoms, is to make sure that that kingdom is birthed inside us. So we use prayer, therefore, first of all, to get rid of every uncleanness. Paul said, we must purge ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit and perfect holiness. All right? The perfection of holiness is what allows the promises of God to work in our lives. If we go out and God were to do things through us without us fulfilling this first aspect of purging ourselves, what God will do is that after you are finished taking over the kingdom, He will remove you and put somebody else in charge. That's just the way it was. And you'll be outside there grumbling. Paul said it himself. It is possible if you are not careful, after you have done everything, to be set aside. Yeah, Paul said it. So what does he do therefore? He said, I put my body under. That's what I do. I make sure I put my body under. You can achieve a lot of things and somebody else will walk into your harvest. Why? Because you've been set aside. Why? Because the flesh has not been what? Properly subdued, put under. It's our school of prayer. So the emphasis we are laying is believers, be believers indeed. Now, if anybody listening to this, maybe in a recording, remember, we are running these things parallel with our Saturday teachings, which we have titled The Fullness of Faith. And the aim of the Fullness of Faith teachings is to let us know that faith is not effective or faith is not genuine until it is so full that it produces actions. If faith does not produce actions, it is fake. The person who is possessing such a faith is deceived, thinking that he has faith, but he doesn't have. She thinks she has faith, but she doesn't have. Faith, you know, a possessor of faith can be deceived. How do I know? James said it. He said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. How? Deceiving you. Well, it's possible for you to deceive yourself. Do you get my point? It's only when the things come out in practical terms. How can you say you have faith? Remember we said that when Martin Luther first read the book of James, at least like when he commented on it, he was unhappy. But that was because it was coming from a background where works was everything. So anything that looked like works, he first rejected. He misunderstood James. Later on, he understood James. What James was saying, I'm not saying you are saved by works. James just said, you are saved by faith. Because all the references he quoted were to the same one that Paul used in Romans chapter 4 to teach us the same thing. He said, however, that faith must be what? Genuine. It must be alive. If the faith is not alive and genuine, it is dead. And such faith cannot save, therefore. So if Abraham says that God spoke to me and I believe God, then move. You can't be lying in earth there without moving and say you believe. God cannot say to you, go and sacrifice Isaac. You say, I believe God, I'm a Wardite, I'm a Christian, I'm filled with the Spirit. And Isaac is still there in the house. You've not taken him to Mount Moriah to go and offer him as a burnt offering. You don't believe. That's what James was saying. I'm just letting anybody listening to this, should just bear that in mind. So listen to that series also, which is what titled The Fullness of Faith. So what are we doing in today's school of prayer and this short series of our prayer meetings? It is just to remind ourselves of the primary thing that God gave us prayer for. The thing that we endure to eternity is the people, that is the manner of presence that God succeeded in working with us to birth inside us. That is, what God turns you into is what matters after now. Are you getting my point? If you like, take over all the kingdoms of, what are those seven mountains again? Governance? Is it politics? Commerce? Family is a mountain. I thought family was supposed to be where the mountain conquerors will come out from. Is it a mountain? I don't know. I'm just asking. It is a mountain. I have the book somewhere. I think I read that book, the one particular book. I read it at the time. Okay. Education. Right? Entertainment. We mentioned business and commerce, right?
I've mentioned government. Media, yes, thank you. Media, All right? Yeah, all those mountains. None of them will cross this existence. When Jesus comes back, all your entertainment will melt. Your DVDs, they won't watch them in heaven. I don't care how many movies you produce on Netflix. Nobody wants to watch horror movies in heaven. Some of these you think is funny. In heaven, they think it's nonsense. All the servers of Netflix, all of them will melt when Jesus comes. Commerce, it will disappear. No matter, look, it's going to pay me, but it's going to happen. $20 or $21 billion refinery, it's expanding it now, right? Yeah, you know, Dangote refinery is currently, is 600,000 barrels a day or 450? Huh? Who am I talking to? People that have not even conquered knowledge. You want to conquer mountain. How many barrels a day? I think 600,000 barrels a day. And it's doubling it now to 1,000 something barrels a day. Right now, it's the largest single train refinery in the world. It wants to make it the largest refinery in the world. To be the only one bigger than it in India. You know what's paining me about it? When Jesus comes, you know, it has fuel. It is effective. Well, the skyscrapers, all the Burj Khalifa, Burj Al Arab, you understand? All those gigantic buildings, those ones will melt. But our refineries will go up in flames at the coming of the Lord. At the coming of the Lord, they will go up in flames. They will all disappear. But it's only what the Bible says, the Lord's portion is what? His people. Israel is the allotment of his inheritance. In everything, what God is looking, he's not looking for mountains. Though. I'm not saying you shouldn't take the mountains. Take the mountains, enjoy the mountains. But the Lord will destroy the mountains when he comes. Take the taking of mountain, that is, receive it as a way of advancing the kingdom. But that is not the kingdom of God, because his kingdom is not of this world. You're not aware of that? Everything's going to disappear. We behave sometimes as if it did not happen. You know what? It will happen. It will happen. It will happen. So what should we labor for? The things that endure to what? Eternal life. That's what Jesus said. Labor for the things that endure to eternal life. And what we are saying, therefore, is that when we want to, you know, of course, like a man of God was teaching, he said the most powerful person is not the one that contains the nuclear codes of United States or Russia. He's the one that can get his prayers answered. It's not the billionaire. It's a person that can get his prayers answered. Okay? Now, so we have this mighty power available in prayer. That's the point I'm making. We have this mighty power available in prayer. What are we using it for? Seek first, he said. Finish it for me. Seek first. Now remember, it is first. It's first. Is first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we've said the first place is kingdom of God in us. And we know that from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, if I by the finger of God cast out demons from amongst you, how did he say it again? If I cast out demons in your midst, the kingdom of God has come upon you. He was a personification of the kingdom of God. That's what we're saying. So what do we use prayer for? All this talk, just to get to this point. We use it to become like Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. It can give us anything we want. If I get down here, I kneel down, say, Father God, this is the kind of building I want for Kingdom World Ministries. 9 floors. 1 kilometer wide. One of our denominations have an auditorium that's 3 kilometers by 3 kilometers. You're not aware? Huh? You want to conquer mountains. You're not conquering information, no. Why don't we just conquer information first? Did you see the one that one of our beautiful denominations is building? The Ark. Did you see that thing? My God. Hey, one of our churches in Abuja can seat 100,000 persons. Now, why am I saying all of these things? Are they good? Yeah, nice, of course. They're nice. I like to live in a nice house. It's good for us to gather in a nice environment. Except that when Jesus will come, he won't even spare them. He won't even say, okay, these are my people. It's my offering they used to build this thing. You know the Lord won't say it. As the mosque is melting, central mosque is melting at the coming of the Lord. So the central church melting at the coming of the Lord. Now, please, you understand, this is not a criticism of any denomination. You understand my point? Yeah, of course, it doesn't sound like it at all. I'm just pointing out what we, as Christians, have achieved materially, or we're achieving materially. Yet, despite that, it won't live a day, 1 second longer than the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will, just like he will melt the mosque, he will melt the church. Many of us don't like to believe that. Some people are hearing this and say, Tokfiakwa. Do you know Christians are hearing this in their heart? They are saying, Tokfiakwa. What are you to fear and acquiring in what the Lord will do? Is it me that said it? You know, sometimes we Christians, let's say, we behave like we don't understand. We put more energy into what will pass away than what we endure to eternity. In our personal lives, what do we sow seed for? It's not to get a bigger car. It's not to build a bigger house. Most of our seed is for that, isn't it? Let me ask you a question. How many people have you heard sow a seed to cure themselves of anger? No, think about it for a moment. Have you ever heard the testimony? See, that day when pastor came, maybe one guest minister, as he was raising it, I got up and said, Father, I took my whole month's salary. I said, if this is what it would take for me to be more patient, I put it in the basket. No. Our testimony is almost, I need a bigger house. So, brethren, it's a fact. Is now we are be. We are talking to ourselves. Some of you looking at me here, you have sown dangerous seeds. Sometimes I hear some seeds. Pastor, okay, we just get angry. So what are you sowing seeds for? People have hardly sown seeds to cleanse themselves of defilement. To say this impatience in my life must die. We don't do that. Why? We don't really value it. And I'm saying to us again today, please put place value there. It is more important to God, listen to this carefully, it's more important to the Lord that your anger problem disappears from 2025 to 2026 than your business triples. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, it is more important to him that this child of mine, this boy, so impatient. If he asks for something in the morning, I don't give him by evening. He's questioning heaven, whether we didn't receive the transfer. Have you seen people like that before? There are some people, I know about two persons like that. One I remember now. If he's calling you, you must answer that call. It's as if he puts on auto redial. He can dial you 10 times. What I do to such persons, I will reject your call and put off the phone. So you stop harassing my soul. Some people are that impatient. If they want to talk to you, they must talk to you now. So if they give God something, he must multiply it. No. And God is saying, this boy, this has to stop. It's a very childish trait. God must answer me now, now. It's childish. You must attain maturity. So it's more important to the Lord that that trait disappears from. Instead of this new year, my business will triple. God said, no, my patience will be elongated. A few years ago, the issue is still not over yet. Some schoolgirls were kidnapped in Borno State from Chibok. Remember? And one girl there, of course, all of them was convert. Chibok is predominantly a Christian area. I think so, yes. You know what we mean, the way we divide our country. So most of the girls taken were from Christian homes. I said, at least a lot of them, let me not say most now, I'm not very sure. And they said they must convert to Islam. And they showed all of them wearing hijab and reciting this and all of that. They said this young girl refused. She was stubbornly stubborn for Christ. Threaten anything, even at death, she would not, anything you want to threaten. And it was said that they released many of the other girls, most of them. One reason why they did not release her was because of her stubbornness. Leah Sharibu, remember that? Remember her? How many people decided to sow seeds that this year, my faith must be stronger I must be more determined to follow Christ Jesus, at least as determined to follow Christ as that. What we're hearing that she should have been wise. That's the kind of wisdom that leads to hellfire. Have you noticed I say hellfire a lot these days? Yeah, when I was a child, they taught me a lot about hellfire and I feared God. The people these days, they don't hear it, so they don't fear God. They think God will understand. No, the soul that sin it, he shall die. I do it deliberately. Don't think I do it deliberately. It's in the scriptures. We have to know God sends people to hell. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. Be faithful even when faced with death. Do you get my point? What am I trying to say? It is more important that when you see such a thing, brethren, look, fact, you should ask yourself, hey, how old is this girl? She's a teenager. And she was a teenager then. He said, me, I'm 30-something. If they kidnap me for 5 minutes and say, I will go back home and repent again. You know it's a matter of fact. That's how you are thinking. You know, because of the things we have experienced in Nigeria, a lot of people are afraid of Islamists. Yes. Most of the banditry, you know. Of course, there are some Christian so-called, you know what I call so-called Christians? There are some Ishayas that are bandits. And they're supposed to be Christians. So, hey. But generally, most of the trouble we have had in Nigeria in recent times has been from Islamists and people like that. So a lot of people are terrified of them. You know, somebody said something some time ago. He said he's not sure whether it's true or not. You know what happened the other day when Hamas, that was October, is it October 7th? That's about over 2 years ago. Going to the Abbey? Yeah. October 2023, right? Yeah. When Hamas entered into Israel and killed 1,000-something people and kidnapped like 250. You remember that? Now, long before that, I'd heard people preach about things. Now, please, again, anytime I get here, I'd like to make things clear, all right? I'm not taking sides. I don't believe it's a Christian duty to take sides with Israel. I don't believe that thing at all. Let's let it go on record. If you did not know, know it now. I take sides with Christ, and both parties are unbelievers. And there are Christians on both sides. And in Christ, everybody is accepted. So if I had to preach, do anything, it's the preaching of the gospel so that everybody will believe. So please, know it now. Because many people don't. What's my side? My side is Christ. When people were, I've seen people raise prayer. Let's pray for Israel. I said, what about Palestine? You think the souls there are less valuable? The unbeliever that died in Israel is damned. The unbeliever that dies in Palestine is damned. Jesus died equally for both parties. In case some of us don't realize it. Jesus died equally for both parties. Please, let that sink into your head now. When you start praying, I'm praying for Israel. The Israel the Bible says you pray for is the Israel of God. The natural Israel is acceptable to God in Christ. The Palestinians are acceptable to God in Christ. How what I'm saying is clear? Please, just understand me. Because people have said that you are anti-Semitic. I'm pro-Semitic. I'm pro-Palestic. Is that what I'm saying to both parties? That he broke down the wall of partitioning in Christ Jesus. Both parties are accepted in him. He said, but he made a promise here. His promise is invalid until you say, finish it for me. Until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And when you say it, acknowledging Jesus Christ, you enter it and discover that I have many people. Add this again. I have other sheep that are not in this fold. You get into him and find the other sheep. The end to the conflict is acknowledging Jesus Christ for both parties. Now, I want to say something with boldness. What I've told you is the Christian stance. That is what God expects for Christians. I'll say it to you one more time. What I have just told you is the Christian, that's the prescribed stance for Christians. For believers in Christ, you must hold this position. I'm saying that with emphasis. It may sound arrogant, but I know what I'm saying. Any doctrine you hold that diminishes the person and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is a wrong doctrine. Even if it's Moses or Abraham, you are magnifying. is wrong. But let me say that clearly to us. Any doctrine you hold that diminishes, reduces the impact of the person and the sacrifice on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is a wrong doctrine. And if you check that doctrine, that's the sacrifice of Jesus and the person of Jesus, you will see that everything I've said is correct. It's in the scriptures. Paul said in him, the wall of partitioning is broken between Jew and Gentiles. He said, in him, all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. And he himself said it to Jerusalem. He said, your house will be left to you desolate. Promise or no promise, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now that you've understood my biblical stance, let me now give the illustration I was trying to give. This man of God said, he didn't personally confirm, but he believes it to be true, that those days when the nation of Israel, modern Israel, was being born, before they declared a nation, that they believed that in every Jewish household, the mothers, at least especially in the troublesome areas, they had a gun with enough bullets for themselves and their children. You didn't get my point? If a woman had 5 children, she made sure she had a gun that has 6 bullets, one for each of the children and one for herself. Why? Because they knew that if for any reason, we saw it happen October 7th, that if those guys will come in and catch them, what they will do to them will not be imaginable. So instead of being taken by them, they will shoot their own children one by one, then take the last bullet, put it on their own head and fire. That's how prepared they were. Now, that won't be their first choice, though. They will fight in the last. But when we say that finally, we've been surrounded, there's nothing, and they see the guys attacking, they would line up their children, kill everybody, kill themselves. And new people are not taking us. That's how prepared some people were for persecution, for trouble. You know, I don't even know why I started talking about that again. But I'm talking about, yes, a lot of Christians are scared of that. And what are you doing about it? Now, those who don't have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have, that's why I told you the kind of preparation they are making. That's the kind of preparation they were making. That's the kind of preparation they were making. So when you see things like that, talking about Leah Sharibu, you ask yourself, can I do this? Instead of being terrified. After all, terror or no terror, Jesus commanded faithfulness. Yes, he commanded it. Many of us think that it will be able to explain to him that the terror was great. No. I keep on saying it. What you call excuses, he called them temptation, that's supposed to be resisted. Who would deny him if everything is sweet and hunky-dory? Everything is fine. No, nobody. I mean, why bother? I mean, why deny the person who's giving you food? Why deny the person who's healing your diseases? Why deny the person who's making you enjoy everything? That's how come I know that Israel, anytime they departed from God, go and check it, they had difficult times. And what God was angry with them about was that they did not, in their trouble, come to him. It's when they are thirsty, they say, come and build us something to carry us back. When they are hungry, that's when they grumble against God, against Moses. It's always difficult times. Except that is the very time God says, let me test the genuineness of your faith. Many times I've seen people give counsel to others what to do in difficult times. I say, you don't understand. That's why the commandment is there. The commandment is not there for easy times. Thou shalt not worship another God. Why should I worship another God when this one I'm worshiping is bringing food? Is supplying all my needs? Thinking of my children? Removing all my fears? Why should I... Now, remember, that there's one man tell his story. He said, when his family started going to church, he didn't follow them. Do you know why? He said, there was nothing this year at Jesus school. He thought Jesus was another God. He had all kinds of traditional African gods in the Benin Kingdom. He had all types. His family decided to add Jesus to their own. So, another God. What's the name of this one? Jesus. Where did he come from? When the white people were coming, they brought him. Okay. Does he work? He said, it didn't work for women and children. He said, okay. Because it was his wife and his kids that were going to church. This was as recent as the 70s. Now, it's what he said that I'm talking about. He said, I didn't feel any need for him
Because the gods I had were doing well. Look, the man had a wife, probably had other concubines, and everybody produced children. The children were doing well. There was no trouble in his family. He said, this was in the 70s, I had over ₦1 million. Now, that is like, at that time, was like $1.5 million, which in today's dollar is like $4 million. So if a Nigerian tells now that he can produce $4 million, you won't say he has done badly. Whatever God he's serving, he tried. Yeah, the God is not doing badly today. You come to my house, I can put together $4 million. Whatever God you are serving is not doing badly at all. So when God said, "Thou shalt have no other God before me," you can be sure there will be a time you will pray to this God and he will not answer. It will seem. There will be a time you will be hungry. There will be a time there will be a problem with the harvest. There will be a time that you bring money home, it's as if you brought it into a pocket with holes. Those commandments didn't come for people who are at ease, things are working out for. And one of the major reasons why God gives such a commandment is that anytime you go through such troubles, I'm talking to you. I don't know whether I hear what I said.
Yes, sir.
When you go through such troubles, I'm talking to you. Draw near to hear what I'm trying to communicate. God communicates in adversity. So, but if you are looking for just solution. I went to preach somewhere one day. One woman took half of the time I had for talking to people. Because she told the whole story. What was she looking for? Solution to their family problems. We keep on getting more experience. But one thing that struck me that day was that she didn't let me talk much. She took all the time talking about this. When, if I try to bring out something, she talked so much about her own background of spiritual. Which one do you use? No, spiritual exploits. Yes, that's the word. I noticed that thing. She was a bit, and I said, it was later on I looked back, I said, that's what the problem was. God has helped this girl with all her spirituality. She never listened to him. I'm not telling the family the truth. She tried. I'm not saying she didn't try. But she was not listening. Brethren, God speaks in challenges. It's the reason, one of the major reasons. Not the only, of course, that's not the reason. The reason why I said that I have no other God is because there's no other God. Every other God is false. One of the reasons why you have to pay attention is that the only thing that will drive you to other gods is shortcut to solution. Because there are times you will cry and he will seem not to answer. There are times you ask him to do something, it's as if he's saying no. And the reason why he says that is because he wants you to become something. He's not here just to solve your problems. Listen, all the problems. Do you know today that we'll never, that some of us say we'll never follow a pastor that's not rich, all right? Who was I talking to today? Was it yesterday? I was realizing that you. When we're talking about Paul, Paul said, "As Paul yet make many rich." You know, I used to say something, in fact, some people are now believing me. I said, if Paul was alive today and is an apostle and he visits Nigeria, he will not be welcome in most churches if they don't know he's Paul. All they need to do is just listen to his preaching and they won't let him come in. When a pastor can boldly say, "I'll never follow a pastor that's not rich," what does it mean? I will never invite to my pulpit an apostle that's rich, that's poor. Which means, Paul can't enter your church. He wouldn't be welcome. And don't twist the gospel. That guy was not rich. Paul was not. Don't twist it, brethren. He wasn't. Let's not twist it. That guy had more time in jail than in palaces. Yeah. How rich was he that there was a time they went broke? The guys had to go and do small runs on the side, making tents. He wasn't rich. Let's not deceive ourselves. He was not. The way we calculate rich now, I'm talking about material. You know why I said this? Do you know, in the light of this thing that we are seeing, do you know if Jesus gave people an option now to be Lazarus, that guy with sores at the rich man's gate, or be the rich man, most Christians would rather be the rich man. Some people say, "I know, leave that thing."
There were two people in the that Jesus told the story. Lazarus, a poor beggar that was asking just to eat crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And there was that rich man that Lazarus sat, and you've seen it before. How many of you have been to eating joints around in that? When you are coming out of the gate, what do you see around there? Lazarus. All kinds of Lazaruses. And what they are asking for is a change. After you finish blowing money on your family in the joint, a fraction of it, and thank you, sir. You know that? As a matter of fact, do you know, sometimes when I hear some doctrines, I'll just keep quiet, say God. I've seen people analyze the reason why that Lazarus was poor. It was because he did not know what was his own. Oh, now I tire. You know, we are so into this thing, this material thing. That is what God was saying. No, let me tell you what God was saying, my friend. Stop inventing doctrine. What he was saying is better to be poor on this earth and have hope of eternal life with Christ Jesus. That's all he was saying. What are you trying to... He did not know what was his right. He was... See... There are some people that can't know some things. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You see, it's because you went to school. You have a degree. And you hang around people that have. So the story of one man that came one day in our former venue. We just came down after a meeting. And those days, it was 3,000 naira he needed. Yeah, that would be like maybe 10,000, 12,000 naira now. But that's all he begged us for. To give the truck driver... who transported himself, his wife, and his children from somewhere in northern Nigeria, that they told him Enugu would be safe because he had converted to Christianity and they had tried to kill him. So they run, these vehicles that carry load, they rode on the back of one of them, not having a dime, with a promise that when he gets here, he will find money to pay them. So they are now reached here. His wife and his children were still with the truckers at their base, while he went around to go and beg for money. That's the person you want to tell doesn't know his rights. He just escaped from being killed. Yes, he didn't know that, you know, your problem is that your pastor drives a Rolls Royce. Yes. As you come up with some very funny doctrine and you miss the point of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought the next time I saw the guy, That must have been a spiritual experience. Because that day he saw us, we're outside. You know, if you remember that side, you know, the parking was quite close to the road. So we're just gisting before we enter our cars and leave. Next time he came, he entered the building, walked to the top floor, or that's the third floor, where our offices were. And I heard his voice talking to one of our guys who was not there that day. And he said there were some people who helped him last time. They are the ones he came to look for. So I heard that voice. I said, that kind of sounds familiar. So I came. I saw him. Oh, a Fulani man. Oh, I forgot that part. Real Fulani, not a real Fulani man. With his English, no, Tata English like this, up and down. What did he come to ask me for? He said he needed money to buy shoe polish, things of polish, brush, so he could go around shiny shoes. Of course, God helped us. How much will it be? We calculated. Gave him money, and he could go. He blessed us. That's when he said, you know, he didn't know. Does he want right now? It's not his right he needs right now. What the guy got was eternal. The first day we met him, he had a book in his hand. That when he came to beg for money, he was... Now, some people say, I've seen people before who tell me that we should be careful. Maybe he was lying. I say, no, I don't believe he was lying. Do you know why? He did not offer his Christianity story. He didn't. He just said, please, excuse me. I have a small problem. What is it? That I just came down from so-and-so place. My family, they are still like sort of detained. I need to free them by paying 3,000 naira. Because I didn't pay the transport people. I said, okay, we are good Christians. We gave him money. I kept on looking at the book in his hand. Because I couldn't believe what I was saying. It couldn't be a Bible. Maybe it's a diary. A dictionary. Maybe he's learning English. Because it was a bit tattered. So I just said, what is that in your hand? Oh, is that this one? I was the one that brought up the discussion. So he couldn't have been trying to. We had given him money. He was leaving. I was on that. I said, what's that in your hand? I was just curious. He said, oh, this one, it's my weapon. I said, weapon? He said, yes, it's my weapon. He had learned to read his Bible. He carried it everywhere. His wife and children were detained. They couldn't detain his Bible. He said, it's my weapon. Then you know a man who knows how to deceive. Then he started telling stories. See, we had given him money. He wasn't telling me to get money. We had given him. I was on the ask, what is that in your hand? He said, oh, you know, like, oh, this. Oh, it's my weapon. I said, what do you mean it's your weapon? They began to tell me about his Bible. He now said, they say that when you die, you go to heaven. You go to heaven, they give you 70 virgins. He said, whoever went there apart from my Lord Jesus Christ. Those were his exact words. So how would they know? Did they go there? He said, the only person that went is Jesus Christ. He said, he's the one that can tell us. I was looking at this man like this. Since that day, if I see one of these guys from the north going around, beg, you know, shining shoes, I have respect for the person. He came to beg for money to. You can say, if he knew his rights, he had the right not to get killed. He had the right to believe. He pulled his shirt, his top, to show us his injured back. It was after the harassment, the beatings, the persecution, that somebody called him and said, go to the south. They don't beat people like this there. And Jesus said, when you are persecuted in this city, flee to the next. So the guy, he didn't have anything. He just carried his children and his wife, begged those truckers who were bringing goods, agri-produce to the south, and they transported him down for 3,000 naira, which he could not pay. So somebody would tell him, say, hey, Lazarus did not know the right. Lazarus said, now leave my rights. What I want is rice. Give me food. My rights is settled. Which is why I came to this life. But the point I'm making, let's not miss the point. The point I'm making is that Jesus was teaching us to value eternity more. To value eternity more. Because he made it clear to us that Abraham said, while you were on earth, you had the good things. But now, Lazarus is being comforted. The way we preach, being honest, we'd rather have the good things now. You know why? A bread in hand is worth two in heaven. You know, I've been telling you that most Christians don't believe. They don't believe. They don't believe. That's why they will tell Leah that you should have just said, what if you have been praying for Leah? Why didn't you just kill the girl? That's the prayer you should have prayed. So that we should be amongst the martyrs for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not say, no, deny him now so that when you come back home, you will rebaptize you. You trust a terrorist. More than you trust Jesus Christ. After you deny him and he beheads you, what do you now do? Why take the chance with your life? You trust a terrorist. I say he will not kill you. What if that's when you now should say, oh, you are not even a serious Christian before? We even thought you were a Christian. We have met, didn't know someone there. They have met Christians before. See, this one is not even a serious Christian. You know, I've heard a joke before of armed robbers that met a reverend father on the road. Robbed him of his money. He said, well, bring all your money. He said, that's all the money I have. Are you sure? He said, yes. Swear, I swear. They said, yeah, step aside. They said, they cannot find more money. He said, father, even you. We with a lie. You save the lie. Father, it's not supposed to be like this. I'm robbers, then the reverend father. Experienced terrorists have met serious Christians. So when you decide to deny the Lord, no. They'll say you're not a true Christian. They behead you. But what am I saying? What's our prayer for? Our prayer should be for the fact that we'll look at Leah and say, and I meant it that time. If I had a daughter after that period, her name was going to be Leah. Among, you know, we normally give names. And the one I'll call her every day is Leah. And not Leah, Jacob's wife. I don't know you before. I mean, when I will say that Leah, I'll be referring to Leah Sharibu. Telling everybody that I approve. You know, like they will say, my name is Donald Trump and I approve this message. As if my name is Bankole Olusina, formerly known as Pastor Banky. and I approve of standing for your faith even when faced with death. That's why I would have named my daughter Leah. All this talk to explain something to us. That should have been the prayer point of many people in the church of God at that time. You call your wife, say, oh girl, I'm not sure, say, I go stand like that too. So what do we do? She say, my husband, what do we do so we don't go to hell? Not being able to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. She says, it's not by our power. It's not by our might. It is by the Spirit of God. Let us go and pray. Then you get on your knees and pray. Say, God, see, anyway, that's what we're trying to do today. Anytime you see issues, challenges that border on your Christian character and you have doubts, and having doubts is crucial. Let him that thinks he stands. So, thinking, which means it's a suggestion. I mean, like it's a thought you're having. Let him take heed. Is that not what he said? So, having doubts like that is good. I said, was it here? I said it last time. That when I hear preachers do some things, and I think that, Bank, if you did that, what impact would they have in Steve's life? What impact would they have on Chibikem's faith? Do you get my point? What impact would they have on Uche's faith? I start thinking of it. What impact would they have on a young person that looks up to you and drinks the word of God that you preach? When I think about it, you know what they call fear? Now, this is not something me I won't do. I just hear some other man do him. And he's a preacher. You know, Apostle, that gist you gave me last time. You know the one I'm talking about? When you mentioned the man's name, I said, this one I see that preaches on marriage all the time. He said, yes, sir. He said, Jesus is my Lord. So I started thinking, Pastor Banke, come. Say, you now see why it is important. You know, the older I get, the more I understand some. You know, it's good to believe Jesus Christ. Don't doubt him. Anything he says you don't understand, just leave it. Because later on, you will understand. Do you know, I totally understood when Jesus said, some have been made eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. That was when I understood it. There are things you will think of. You will go and see a urologist. Say, okay, these things, cut them. They are not doing anything again. You get where I'm going? You know, it's when I hear someone, I say, what? I'm not even thinking of me now. Like, what would Jesus do to you? Leave that in. That's not what I'm talking about. I literally am thinking of the people that, one day I said something on radio. You know, humility, damn it, humility. Is humility not good? Should I not be humble? Now, okay, must a cut someone. He go carry me for what versus what? Isn't he was not asking me questions? He now said something. I can't remember exactly what. But in talking, I said in passing that no, nobody's right all the time now. But after all, even me, I can make mistakes. Now one guy panic. The guy writing me, he said, okay, I heard that you say you can make mistakes. He said, no, you can't. I'm not joking. No. The guy said, sir, I follow everything you say. What do you mean you can make a mistake? Like, don't try yourself. Oh. I'm not kidding, no. The guy wrote a mail. He obviously was listening. He said, Pastor Bank, you can't make a mistake. My life is built on what you are saying. I felt like telling the Baba God. Baba God said, no, you didn't tell me this job would be like this. I felt like, God, no, really. I'm like, what? I told you, one of our brothers, remember that our brother, Enoka? If he has a headache, he goes to play Pastor Banky. So what do I do about this headache? He'll play a message. Before I finish, he'll get his answer. He wants to meet a woman to marry him. He'll go and play Pastor Banky. A woman refuses to marry, he goes to play Pastor Banky. He told me by himself that, so when this happened, I now played one of your messages. You now said, so I noted it. When I looked the guy, I said, Lord, before I start lying, kill me. No. That statement, I mean, it's not a joke. Find my wife a better husband. But, see. Yeah, seriously. I don't want to live while lying to people. No, I'm not saying out of humility. It's out of fear. I said, God, no. I have seen people build their lives on the thing that I say. See, I don't want to die now, to be honest. So if you don't want to die, just do like Elihu said. Don't flatter anybody. Don't lie. Just respect the word. Purify everything you are saying. Because God knows I'd rather be dead than lie with the word of God for the people of God to listen and build their lives on a lie. No, 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 no. No, no, no. I don't want my children to build their lives on a lie that they heard me say. I said, the older you get, it's not you now understand what Jesus meant. When he said, look, leave this thing. People have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. I said, eh? When he said, if your right hand is making you to stumble, cut it. Do you know he's now understand? And I now realize now, I'm not kidding about what I'm saying. If God says, okay, bang, no, there'll be no problem. Let me just remove your right hand. I will close it like I said, God, which anesthesia are you going to use? That's what I'll tell him. I won't beg for the hand. I won't beg for the hand. Because now I've understood. Some of the things I wanted to read today, eh? When the Bible says he was head because he feared. That thing has a meaning. Because suddenly he understood the gravity. You must understand what he was saying. He understood the gravity of failing. That deliverance for the sons of Ham lies in my succeeding. You know, Jesus said, go into the, is he, how did he describe it? Gehenna of fire that was prepared for the devil, for the devil, lake of, how did he say it again? That was prepared for the devil and his angels. He understood. Now, Jesus was telling us, the Father will send, or the Lord will send everyone who's like this into that with the devil and his angels. Meaning, now listen to what I'm saying. Jesus understood that if I don't want people to go there with the devil and his angels, this is the only way. Listen, he had to be a lamb without blemish. You know, we learned that from the beginning. Every sacrifice had to be without blemish. Blemish referred to sin. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world had to be without blemish. So, he could not need forgiveness. He couldn't. Because the high priest amongst mankind, on the nation of Israel at that time, the problem he had was that first he had to offer a sacrifice for himself. So there was not really, he couldn't do anything for the sins of the people. He was so offer for himself, offer for the people. So his sacrifice was, he had to come back year by year. He was not an adequate sacrifice, and the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. You are getting where I'm going. The human high priest needed a sacrifice for himself. So if this eternal high priest, which sacrifice will be for him? Which one will now remain for us? Because he was one, not the other priest that could take from a flock. So every temptation to sin. You know what the Bible says about him? He was tempted in every way as we are tempted today. So, there was a method to his deliverance. Could he have sinned? The answer is yes. Because if he could not have sinned, it was not a valid temptation. And his method for his deliverance would not be effective in our lives because we can. So what he did was to present to us the way by which he overcame. And he said, this is how to overcome. But the Bible says he was heard in that he what? He feared. Literal Greek is that he feared. Not piety, not reverence. Like some translations said, he feared. He feared the consequences of failure. You know what? If you have that kind of fear and use it to pray against iniquity, God will take it away. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
It's when you call it weakness, knowing that he's mindful that we are but flesh, he will forgive. That's why it doesn't go away. If you understood that Jesus could not have received forgiveness, because if he did, it would make him no longer worthy lamb to take away the sins of the whole world. He didn't have that. To say, if we confess our sins, to who? Who be the mediator? So every moment he feared. So he was able to pray to the Father. The Bible says he prayed with loud cries and tears to him who was able to deliver him from death. And you must understand deliverance from death. The wages of sin is death. So deliverance from death is deliverance from sin. Why was he heard? He realized this was a serious matter. That's what I mean. That I say, we believers, we don't have enough fear. So, last time we were talking about this. If you were, of course, on Saturday we've been talking about the fact that Reuben is my firstborn, preeminent in power, preeminent in dignity, but you shall not have preeminence. That is, no matter the promise, no matter the plan of God, if you have a flaw in your character, it can hinder it from being manifested. We read that from Genesis chapter 49. And he said, why? He said, unstable as water. Reuben was unstable. He said, won't have preeminence. And when I read commentaries, they said, no prophet, no king, no judge arose from Reuben ever. I used to say when they went to the house of Samuel, that those people lined before Samuel the way the whole of Israel lined before God. And I realized, God said, no, bank, leave that in. Reuben did not join. I joined the descendants of Reuben and Simeon and Levi. I started with the descendants of Judah. Because he described Judah as a lion's whelp. Basically, the anger he had against Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, Judah didn't have that problem. He had his own problems, don't get me wrong. He saw what he did in their anger, the slew men, that Simeon and Levi. So I will scatter them all over Israel. What am I going to say? There's a pattern in there. Anytime you see, you can't control yourself. Brethren, don't justify. You know I'm a woman. You know that's why we are in my family. Don't justify a bad thing with natural explanations. If it's bad, it is bad. Go and cure it. The fact that as a woman, that's your iniquity, you know what they call iniquity, okay? That's your failing. It means you have more reward when you overcome it. Is that you wouldn't believe that lady is a woman because the way she's so calm, even under pressure, that is God has worked a work in your life and subdued the flesh under you. So giving excuses. Remember one man I saw in a movie long ago, based on a true story. That's why I like it. Was a warrior, and he loved to fight. You know, some people have the spirit of the warrior. He was wounded, so he was discharged from the army. When he was watching TV, and he saw America was now in, Vietnam? Yes, Vietnam. He called his guys in the army. Said, guys, man, see action. How can you get me in? You know, he volunteered for something, landed in Vietnam, and began to fight. Now, the part of it I remember, his wife left him because he was indisciplined with women. That's what I'm going. One day he was driving in Vietnam. He saw a young lady on the road. He went to pursue that one. Now, this is what he said. He now told his friends, you know me now, I can't help falling in love. I said, look at this guy. You can't help falling in love. You've lost your family. You can't help falling in love. You're at war now. But honestly, the way his life ended, You know, this guy had the spirit of the warrior. It was based on a true story. Of course, you color it a bit for the movie. I watched it long ago, more than 20 years ago. But there was a part of it, all right? In fact, when I say he had the spirit, there was a time they were cornered, he and his guys. They said he couldn't call for what they would do normally is air support. That they were too close to the enemies. Air support would take them also. He told his guys, I don't have a choice. He called for air support, gave them the coordinates. All of them put their heads down. They bumped within inches of them. They were not injured at all. His guys got up and said, where do you get your luck from? That's when I knew this guy had the spirit of the warrior. Do you know they all survived? Then he took a helicopter to go from here to there. The helicopter crashed and he died. He didn't die in fight too. When I saw the way he died, I said, you know why? What killed you? You can't help but falling in love. So when I finished the work, God had to do it. God just said, shoot him. So the angel said, why do I shoot this guy? Drop his helicopter. Don't give excuses. You know. If it is bad, it's not good. Abi? If it's bad, it's not good. Don't give it excuses. One day I was talking to some people who came from UK. They say, you know, this LGBT thing. You know, when people live abroad, sorry if you're abroad, I'm not trying to
you know, attack you. Just what I've experienced. Isn't it your friend that said that? Is it he or she posted? It's a she posted a guy on her status. She's one of the best human beings that you've ever met in your life. So, but he's gay. They used to pray together in Nigeria. Ya kala ga 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 ga. Hey ya ya ya. Abi, why we not praying together? But you were in the same company of brethren. You may not have been joining hands, but you were all praying. Why are you denying the fellow now? I never knew you. That is, then suddenly, you are now making excuses. You put it on, this I know somebody has been converted to a bad thing. You could have said, meet my friend, one of the most wonderful people you will ever meet, because he's a nice guy. Full stop. Why do you have to tell us he's gay? That is, you are trying to teach us to accept that as a valid alternative lifestyle. I've seen that thing again and again. What I'm talking about is, so this is an excuse. Like one lady was talking to one, say, you don't know what you have been through. Who has not been through something? One woman used to live in America. I came to preach in Enugu here. He said, when I see what they call abuse, he said, I just keep quiet. Because, Omo, I don't see abuse. I've been abused. People have, you know, like, when they flog you well, what is that? Abuse. When you go hawking tomato and pepper as a little boy for your mother, what is that? It's abuse. When you have to go to the farm to go and fetch water from the stream, what is that? It's abuse now. The woman said that, what they call abuse, I don't know. That I have seen worse things done to normal children, and they didn't turn out to be gangsters. They didn't warp their lives. When you start giving excuses for a bad thing, God will never cure it. God doesn't offer help to what you give excuses for. Just say it is bad, it is bad. It is not good, it is not good. Leave them there. Start from there and end it there. Because many of the things we call excuses, God calls them what? Temptations. So what do you do with temptations? You resist. Now, it's our school of prayer. What I'm emphasizing is why what we need prayer for, first of all, why we need to pray about the development of godly character in our lives. Because no matter the promise we saw from Genesis chapter 41 and 49, we can be denied our inheritance. Reuben was the firstborn, but he lost his inheritance. Reuben was the firstborn, but he lost his inheritance. Preeminent in dignity, preeminent in power, but you shall not have preeminence. That's what Jacob said. Even though you should have it by virtue of the fact that you're my firstborn, the beginning of my strength. He said, but because you are so uncontrolled as water, that preeminence as your portion as the firstborn, you will not have it. He said, because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. So when we find out like Reuben, we have a trait in our lives that may hinder us from receiving our birthright in Christ, what do? We go and pray about it. Last time we talked about the fact that you need correction. Please let me say that again. You see, if you have not been corrected, you know, we said something on Saturday, that when light shines, now listen to this, it's very important. Even if light does not shine in an area of darkness in your life so that you don't know that it is wrong, do you get my point? You still will not be blessed. It's just that you will not be judged. Now let me say it again. Assuming a child of God is performing a particular action, let's call it misbehavior A, all right? It's misbehavior. But it does not know it is bad. Okay, David. David did not know marrying many wives was a bad thing and having many concubines. He didn't know. The Bible says he served the purpose of God in his generation. So in his generation, he was not aware. So this is what happens. Because of ignorance, Paul said, God will show you mercy. However, ignorance or no ignorance, God can never bless what is wrong. Did you hear what I said? Whether it is ignorance or it's not ignorance, there can never be a blessing.
There can be a withholding of judgment or punishment, but there can never be a blessing. That's how life is. God is either adding a blessing or you are provoking judgment. If you are ignorant, you will not provoke judgment, but you will never provoke blessing. So you'll be neutral. So David was weak at the age of 70. He died 40 years earlier than Joshua. Joshua fought battles. Caleb, by the time David was so weak, Caleb was collecting marching orders from, in fact, 10 years later, 15 years later, Caleb was asking Joshua, "Nah, how far now? That place is my own." Moses was climbing mountains. 120 years. Moses was climbing mountains. At the age of 120, David could not carry a sword again. Moses, that's at the age of 70. Moses was climbing mountains at 120. Joshua, Caleb at 85, was asking Joshua, "Bless this my journey. Tell me to go. I will go." And Caleb said, "As my strength was 40 years ago, so is my strength today." So war is not the reason why David was weak. Something else did. Even though God did not judge him, he couldn't bless him. So if you don't know something is wrong, you are spared of judgment. However, ignorance never provokes a blessing. So when God wants to increase you, he takes his torchlight and shines it for you to see what is wrong, with a demand on you to go there, bring out what is wrong, and confess it to God, and have him purify you of all unrighteousness. That's how you'll be blessed. If you have this understanding, you will know what happened to Job. As good as Job was, I say, this guy is very good, though. Of all the men I have right now on this earth, numero uno is number one. Would I die? Abi? No, would I die is only one. Abi? Okay. But it's number one. So let's provoke a blessing. So he took him from the righteousness by works to righteousness by faith, which as a nature doubles the blessing. Just his character of righteousness by faith. So last time we talked about praying for correction. That's why you need correction. You have to advance in life. You have to advance in life. If you're not corrected, even if, you know, you can say ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is not that kind of bliss. So you will be on one spot. God won't send you back, but you will not move forward because of something you don't know. So that is why we pray for what? Correction. We pray for light. We pray for insight. What about after we have insight? What do we do next? And that's what we're talking about. Please just press a pause in your mind. And let's quickly go back to that story in the book of Acts. I think it's chapter 4, right? When they threatened the apostles not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find a pattern of prayer there. We've gone over it again and again in this place. What's that pattern of prayer? Number one, of course, they gathered. Let's just go there to help us. There's a reason why I just want to quickly review it. I won't take too much time on it. When they got to their own company, what the Bible says, from verse 24. The Bible says they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said. Now, just by the way, small aside, because I feel like Pentecostals, let's put some discipline into the way we pray. Is that okay? We should. It was a congregational prayer. Is that okay? I've heard it said before that they were all praying and this is what the Holy Spirit said. No, no. That was not what the Holy Spirit said. This was what they said. Do you get what I'm saying? When there's a matter like that, we don't need anybody, everybody chatting away. Let the elder get up, pray properly. Let the rest of the congregation say, "Amen." Exactly what they did. They lifted up their voices to God in one accord and said, "Oh Lord," now this is started with praising God. Remember, praise is not bribery. Praise is recognition. Do you get my point? recognizing God boosts your own faith. He was never in doubt. You are the one that was in doubt. You thought it's human connections that get things done.
You forgot that it is He that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. If you say this, you will remember. There is no human connections, but godly connection. So that's what praise is. He said, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, then they brought out the promise of God. Why did the nations rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ, or His anointed. That's the promise of God. Do you understand? Then third, remember we are going through it. Number one, praise. Number two, what's number two? I just said it now. What's number two? The promise, yes. First, they brought forth the praise of God. Number two, they brought forth the promise that God made. Then they now said, truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever, I jumped a line, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predetermined. And now, Lord, did you notice that? And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bond servants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. That's the last thing they did, which was what? They presented the problem. Now, let's go over it again. Number one, the praise of God. Number two, they brought the promises of God to the fore. And then number three, they presented the problem. Now, you know why I'm saying this? This is a pattern for us believers to pray. I believe in always ending with thanksgiving. So I inserted that as the last portion of it. Now, anytime you want to pray is based on what? God's promise. Hope is the expectation generated because God spoke. Hope is not desire. By tomorrow morning, I will have a red Mercedes Benz. It's not in the Bible. Is a desire. Nothing wrong with wanting it to. It's a desire. It can never be your hope. Do you follow my point? It's a desire. Nothing wrong with desires. But hope is when God has spoken a word. And based on what He said, you have expectation. Again, when God gives a promise, He gives you ground for approach. Do you get my point? You can't ask Him to do what He had never planned to do. Because that means you are outthinking Him. You are planning Him. If God has not planned to do anything, you can't tell Him to do it. He will not do it, by the way. That's a matter of fact. He won't. So that's why we approach God in prayer, being aware of His promise or His promises. And then we'll now state our request, state the situation, and ask Him what you want Him to do. Yes, I remember that. I knew there were four things. One, they stated the situation. Do you understand? And then they now asked. He said, number one, take note of their threats. That's one thing. They describe the situation. In this city, they were gathered against your holy servant. Now they are still threatening. That's the situation. Then the last thing is, what do you want Him to do? Take note of their threats and grant that your bond servant. That's the first thing. Yes, I knew there were four. Then thanksgiving that I was adding will be number five. And grant that your bond servants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, why did I read this? To let us know how Christians overcome sin. How we get rid of bad characters in our lives. Now, let's look, what are the promises He gave? Yeah, that's where I was going. What are the promises of God that's our basis for approach? Let's open quickly to Romans chapter 6. We're all going to read it together. Romans chapter 6. When God has brought correction, when God has helped us see what is wrong, then we dive into the scriptures, just like these people. The Lord who promised this. Romans chapter what? Okay, let's just read from verse 12. We're reading from verse 12 to verse 14. Now, He gave an instruction. And now, please remember, God's word is not a suggestion. The commandments of God are not suggestions. What are they?
Empowerment. Thank you. When the Lord said to that woman, go and sin no more, it was not a word of advice, though. It was a word of what? Empowerment. Go and sin no more. Before, all these men around you, they didn't make it easy for you to walk above sin. But I say to you, go and sin no more. The Bible said, talking about the other man that came for this thing, healing, for his son. He said, he believed what he said and he set on his way. If that woman believed what he said and went on her way, sin has been destroyed in her life. Do you get my point? Everybody say, go.
Go.
Say it loud, go.
Go.
And sin no more.
And sin no more.
Say, I believe it.
I believe it.
Say it again, I believe it.
I believe it.
Let me read this, then we'll read 14 together. Said, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So that's what I was saying. When he says that, it is the same thing as go and sin no more. So that you obey his laws. Everybody say, I believe.
I believe.
I will say it, then you will say, I believe. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body.
I believe.
You get that point?
Yes, sir.
It's a word of God. He said, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. What do you say?
I believe.
He said, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. What do you say?
I believe.
And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. What do you say?
I believe.
Now, you know, there's something in our school of prayer, right? Remember I told us about meditation before. Do you remember that? So let me get, okay, for those who don't know, meditation means you take these words, you personalize them, you speak them to yourself, your mouth must move. In my house, I have a rule. Meditation time, not only will your mouth move, your body must move. So that you won't be there meditating and sleeping for me. So when you come home, my children do this. They have become calmer now. When they are meditating, this will be a sight. Where's parents? Parents meditation one day, I was looking at him and I was laughing. Yeah, this Bible meditation. I had a good laugh. I said you have to move. If you have to rock like Alpha, it is good. But don't sleep on me. Meditation time is means to take the word of God and place on your lips. So let's do that. Everybody, we have a minute. You start from verse 12 and go on to verse 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Remember, it is you that is letting. So you say, I refuse to let sin reign in my mortal body. I refuse to let sin reign in my mortal body. He said, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Personalize it. I will not go on presenting the members of my body to sin so that they will be instruments of unrighteousness. Say, I refuse in the name of Jesus. I refuse in the name of Jesus. He said, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. You know what to do. This body I present you to God. All my members as instruments of righteousness. Being made alive from the dead. I've been made alive from the dead. So I present my body as an instrument of righteousness. I present my body, all the members thereof, as instruments of righteousness. Speak to your body. My eyes, you are an instrument of righteousness, or you are instruments of righteousness. My hands, my legs, you only go to the place of righteousness. You go to where you fulfill purpose, where you hear the word of God, where you be an encouragement to people. But you will never go to a place where the ungodly gather so as to relax amongst them. I refuse my legs being instruments of unrighteousness. I refuse my legs being instruments of unrighteousness. My eyes, my hands, my heart, my mind. Amen. Let's go to verse 14. I'm just going to read the first portion. Thus says the Lord, that's verse 14. He said, for sin shall not be master over you.
Amen.
Thank you. Say it.
I believe.
I like the way he said in King James, sin shall not have dominion over you.
I
say it again. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Let's say it one more time. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Take a moment and meditate on that. You know what I mean? That is how we Christians overcome. In the name of Jesus, sin shall not have dominion over me. Say this to any addiction, it will go away. Those things are spirits. Spirits are eliminated by the word of God. He drove them out with a word. Spirits are eliminated by the word of God. Evil spirits are eliminated. Lust is eliminated by the word of God. Just speak to it. Don't speak your desires, speak the word of God. That's the problem. A lot of people want to speak their desires. No. Just lift up the word over it. Say, I'm empowered because it is written. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body. So in the name of Jesus, I say amen to that. That's all. That's how we overcome. Say, because sin shall not have dominion over me. You see, sin shall not have dominion over me. I want to read verse 14. He said, thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin. You have become slaves to righteous living. Everybody, go to that verse 14, 17. Let me read that from New American Standard. He said, thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Everybody say, I'm a slave
of righteousness.
Say it again.
I'm a slave.
Mm-hmm. Say, I've been freed from sin.
Now
I'm obedient to the teaching of Christ. Say it again. I've been freed from sin. Now I am obedient to the teaching of Christ. Say that again. I've been freed from sin.
By the blood of Jesus.
Now I am obedient
to the teaching of Christ.
Now I am a slave
of righteousness.
I give you 30 seconds. Meditate on those words. 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 Say, I've been free. I've been set free from sin by the sacrifice of Jesus. Now I obey wholeheartedly the word of Christ. I obey wholeheartedly the word of the cross of Christ. I obey wholeheartedly the word of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. I obey wholeheartedly the word of God. He said, now having been freed from sin, I have become a slave of righteousness. You know what it means to be a slave? Righteousness controls me. The love of God compels me. Righteousness directs me. Righteousness leads me. Righteousness enforces the will of God in my life. Righteousness controls me. Righteousness empowers me. Righteousness directs me. You hear that compassion moved him. In the same manner, the Spirit of Christ is moving me. The Spirit of Christ. Say, the Spirit of Christ is moving me. Righteousness. I'm a slave now of righteousness. These are the promises we used to pray. In the name of Jesus Christ. Brethren, that's why we pray. See, these words will overpower every sin. See, once God exposes something to you, no matter how trivial, don't ever say, this one is not serious. Eh? Now, destiny will talk. There's one that's not serious. The other day, my wife and I were talking in the house. I gave her one gist. I told myself, say, Banky, okay, this thing you have told your wife. Now, it was something that happened long ago in a situation involved somebody. I said, okay, if your wife sees this person tomorrow now, will she be warm towards him or her? I can't even remember. Is it him? Yes. Will you be warm towards him or her? Warm towards him? Like I said, is it him? I said, it won't be. How has it helped her become a better person? No, in no way. How has it helped you become better? I said, okay, this morning now, how has our faith been built up? Now I look, I said, look at you. Agbaya. You know what they call Agbaya? So you don't have work. You wake up in the morning and remove small faith from your wife and make her angry with somebody she might meet. You think she wants, no, she may meet that person in the next 2 years. He said, look, oh, is this the yam head my husband was talking about? So you know what I did? I went and looked for her where she was. I said to her, do you know the thing I just told you now? I just reported myself. I said, how have I helped you? She said, you haven't helped me at all. I said, so, can you see the bad thing? That this your husband woke up in the morning. And it was in the morning. I just woke up. So I told her, I said, from now on, I should be telling you stories about David and Goliath. I know you have heard it before. But at least when I see Goliath, you do like this. Toing. When you see David, you say, my back here. And the Spirit of God. You remember we said the Word of God comes in different forms. Remember? One of them we said, stories. 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 I said, tell godly stories. I know you've heard it before. God parted the Red Sea. Eh? Tell it again. Because sometimes you have read that they say it is the Red Sea. And God didn't part it. They walked through the low tide. And the low tide buried the Egyptians. You know, it happens. Nonsense. Tell the story again the way it is. That morning my wife laughed. I said, do you know David King Goliath? She looked like him like, eh? I said, sweetheart, this is better than this negative thing I used to start the day. Nobody fought me. Nothing I said was a lie. But the Holy Spirit just nudged me and said, it's not edifying. So don't just say, that's smarting. Who told you it's smarting? Smarting that's hindering the power of God. No, think about Moses. When you get there, speak to the rock. Now the guy jammed the rock. The rock no one answer. He jammed him again. Because before he embarrasses himself and us, he allowed the water to gush. Say now, remove him from ministry. You know, saying I'm smarting. But that was the end of Moses' ministry. So don't ever say to yourself, it's smarting. If it's bad, it is bad. Remember, if it is bad, it's not good. What did I say?
It's not good.
The Lord is good. So this is how we overcome. Let's take another promise. Remember, when we go to pray, this is the base upon which you go. Because Jesus said, you said the scriptures, thinking in them you have eternal life. But you don't come to me. So we take these words to the Lord. We make these confessions beginning from his presence. And we say, these words empower them in my life. That's how Christians pray. Do you know if we... Hey, you know what Jesus says something, we don't believe it. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things shall be added. But you know what we'll go to do? All other things. Seek first the other things and the kingdom may be added. That's what we write. Today, you will say, this year is my year of breakthrough. Where I was earning 1,000, I shall earn 10,000. Where I was getting 10,000, it shall be 1 million. Begin to pray. But God said, if only you have stopped telling lies, I would have given you 1 billion. So using that energy to walk on truth from your mouth. I need to chase 10,000. And you know the funny thing, will not come with the testimony by December. Praise God. You know when Papa was speaking in January, he said that this year we shall see breakthrough. Let me let you know, where I was getting 1,000, I began to get 10,000. Yeah, look at him. Oh, there. If only, if only we'll have done what I said, you'll have been seeing much more. Do you get what I'm saying? The Lord is good. Let's see another promise. We're just reading these promises. That's what Christianity is about. The promises of God presented to him. I want us to read 1 John chapter 3. Open your Bibles quickly. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Then we'll now go to 1 John 5, 18. So 1 John 3, 9 first. All right, let's read from 7 to 9. Which version do we read? Let me see. Okay, let's just read New American Standard. Are you there? From verse 7. 1 to let's go. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him,
and he cannot sin because he is born of God. What do you say?
I believe.
What do you say?
I believe.
What do you say?
I believe.
That's it. This is the word of God concerning you. Say, I believe.
I believe.
He says, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Say, I practice righteousness.
I practice righteousness.
Just as he is righteous.
Just as he is righteous.
He said, he who practices sin is of the devil. Say, I am not of the devil.
I am not of the devil.
Say it again.
I am not of the devil.
Say it again.
I am not of the devil.
Remember, we say we lift up the word of God over every form of sin in our lives. Once God exposes it, you go after it like this. Once he exposes it, you go after it like this. You say, I am not of the devil. That's it. I'm not of the devil. Now he said, the Son of God appeared for this purpose. Say, I believe in the Son of God.
I believe in the Son.
He said, to destroy the works of the devil. What does that mean? The work of the devil has been destroyed in my life. Say that.
The work of the devil has been destroyed in my life.
Now listen. He said, no one who is born of God. Now let's read verse 9 together. I want to let's go.
No one who is born of God
practices sin because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, let's really read it again from 1 John chapter 5, the same 1 John. We'll go to verse 5. This time around, let me see where we'll start reading from. Please note this. We'll come back to this in a moment. But at least note the thoughts that are there. Now, he said, we know that no one who is born of God sins. I'm reading verse 18. But he who was born of God keeps him. That is, Jesus keeps him. And the evil one does not touch him. Now, here he's talking about touching him, pushing him to sin. Like he entered into Judas. All right? That's what he's talking about. He said, we know that we are of God. And that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come. And has given us understanding. So that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, notice the things that he says we know. We know that no one who is born of God sins. Now, can you mention your name? Say, I know that Banky does not sin. Somebody say, ah, oh God, do you know me? It's the word of God. You call those things that be not as though they were. See, anytime God, this is how we attack it. Do you get my point? You fight this evil spirit with the word of God, not with determination. Say, no, I won't do this again. I won't do this again. Nah. Nah. You will do that again. For sure. Because you know, the devil, he has more, see, if not age alone, you know what they call craftiness? He has more than you do. You don't fight him on your own level, your own terms, your own strength. You always leave the fight to the word of God. And the word of God is alive and active and powerful. I like that modern translation. He's alive and powerful. He can tackle him. Do you get my point? So that's what we do. So let's go over it again. He says, which verse now? He said, we know that these are the things we know. Number one, we know that no one who is born of God sins. I like New Living Translation. He said, we know that God's children do not make a practice of sinning. For God's Son holds them securely, and the evil one cannot touch them. You have a minute. Meditate on that one alone. Meditate. Remember what meditation is. Your mouth was moved. I don't mean move in your chewing gum. I mean move in your declaring the word of God. I am born of God. I do not practice sin. The evil one cannot touch me. You are reaffirming what God said concerning you. I am born of God. Therefore, I do not practice sin. The evil one does not touch me. You need to emphasize it again and again. I am born of God. I do not walk in sin. The Son of God keeps me, and the evil one does not touch me. See, I'm not of the world. Please listen to me as I read verse 19. It says, we know that we are of God, but that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now, meditate on that. I am of God. You need to say it again. I'm born of God. I am of God. I am not of the world that lies under the power of the evil one. I am not of the world. The world is the one that lies under the power of the evil one. I am of God, I am born of God. I am of God, and I am born of God. Now let me read the last thing here. He said, and we know. I like this, we know. You know when John was speaking, he wrote this as an old person. He said, we know. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Take another moment and meditate on it. I know him who is true. I know the Father. I know the Son. And I know I am in him. I am in Christ. And with him, I am in God. Therefore, the evil one cannot push me. A Christian should never say, Satan pushed me. I said, no, he can't touch you. He can't touch you. I said, Satan, listen, I refuse to yield my member, any of my members, as an instrument of unrighteousness. As it is written, do not yield your members. Say, I believe. I do not yield my members. So I can't, Satan cannot push me. Push me into what? Push me into what? He can't touch me. He can't touch. He can't possess me to do that which is evil. He said, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. So that's it. That is my portion. We know. So what do? We hide his words in our heart. These words must be hidden in our hearts. Brethren, that is how we pray as believers. All right, let's end the meditation in Jesus' name. Remember we said, we draw near to the throne of grace to receive what? Mercy, and find grace to help in the time of need. Brethren, the time of need that he was talking about is the time of temptation. There's always grace available for those who will draw near. I hope you're getting my point. There is always grace available for those who will draw near. And listen, let me just give it as a blessing. Sin will not deny you of your inheritance.
Amen.
No hidden fault will deny you of your inheritance.
Amen.
It's important because sometimes, like I said, in fact, let's quickly read this. We'll read it as a prayer and then we'll close there for today. If I would, let's read a few scriptures. Now, remember, these are what we have gone through now, what? The promises. Remember those guys? Started with what? Praise. The praise of God. Then he repeated what? Promises. Then they described the situation. And then they asked God, this is what we want you to do. You know, I said something last time. He that cleaves wood, how does he say again? Shall be injured by it. And he that breaks a wall. Remember the explanation we gave. That sometimes we use that say, he that breaks a wall, a serpent shall bite him. So how do we use the prayer sometimes? Apostle, you know they pray that prayer again. Let me look for, this might be like fireman. Is it Jonah? No, Jonah don't repent. I'm looking for somebody. They say, where they do it? Eh? They're not here. Oh, okay. That explains it. I look, I didn't know anybody who knows how to pray those prayers. But many times we misuse it. What actually what Solomon was saying is that every profession has its dangers. If your job now to the country, watch out, it might fall on you. If your job is to be breaking down old walls, that's where the vipers breed. They hide inside there. If you want to say pull out one root from inside, now snake you pull out too. And this time you got it by the tail. So you go turn like this. Chop it from one side. So what do? You take precautions. It didn't say don't do those jobs, but you do what? You take precautions. So you should wear boots that are very high so that snakes don't bite you there. And you wear gloves that are very thick leather. All right, so that if something were to strike you, it has to pass through very thick leather before it gets to your skin. Just little precautions. And we said, what do we do therefore? Anytime we are exposed to something, you see, when they went to John the Baptist, they asked him, what must we do? He gave each man a word concerning the risk of iniquity in his profession. To the tax man, he said, Mr. Olayinka, don't be... He said, don't build them more than you are supposed to build them. And those tax collectors, Nigeria, they exist today. I know the funny thing. They are doing exactly what they were doing in the days of Jesus Christ. See,
It's what they are doing till today. What does that tell you? It's not whether you are black or white, Jew or Gentile. It's whether you are a tax collector or you are not. It's the risk of the profession. They looked at the soldier, which that time they served as both the police, you know, everything they served it. He said, don't take anything from anybody by force. As a policeman ever stopped before, say, this is your S, looks like 5. And your chassis number.
Yes,
is iniquity. What did I call it?
Iniquity.
That is the one John the Baptist said they should not do. When you say, hey, where's your tinted glass permit? You're looking at him like, what do I need that for? And that will just ask you for one paper. There's one they used to do in Lagos those days there. Some people will go to hellfire if they don't repent. You know, even on the beginning, they say, where's the receipt for payment for your license plate? Have you seen that before? You are driving your motor. Policeman says, where's the receipt for payment for your license plate? You're asking that. But this is the license plate. Do they steal license plate? You can see it in my vehicle particulars. He said, no, he wants to see the receipt. You know, when I was much younger, you know what I used to do? I used to argue. When I was older, when he said, where's the receipt? He said, I not get. You know why? I'm letting you know, say, bro, we know what you are doing. Let's not be deceiving ourselves up and down. Receipt for payment of license plate. Where's the receipt for your bullet? Inside your gun. But that was what Jesus said they shouldn't do. John the Baptist said to them, they should not do it. Where am I going? All right. Each profession, he tackled the risk associated with them. Risk for iniquity. And I said last time, brethren, sometimes the person doesn't even want to do that. Pressure comes. What's his name of our guy? Daniel. They ganged up. Do you know the business Daniel was spoiling? You know Daniel? Daniel was spoiling accounting business, budgets. They want to present budgets to the parliament in Babylon. Was it Babylon? No, the Medes and Persians now. Darius. Yes, well, the Medes and Persians, yes. They had parliament too. Budget presentation. They say, why is it that you people's zone is 500 trillion? Daniel's zone is just 85 trillion. But then they finish investigating, they arrest all of them. They promote Daniel. And they say, let's put this guy in trouble. Some people, they don't want to sin. It's pressure from other people. But what do we do with all of them? That's what we're talking about. We gather everything. Remember, sin shall not have dominion over you. I believe. That's you remind yourself. He said, don't yield yourself as what? As an instrument of bribery and corruption. That's what he said. Why is it you are the one that will be signing the paper? That is the instrument of what? Bribery we are talking about. So we take those things and go to God and say, behold their threatenings. Do you get my point? Sometimes not their threatenings. Behold the covetousness in my heart. When I saw the new car that my friend just brought last time, you know, the car, I went online and checked the price. 150 million naira. And both of us were in the same class. BSc accounting. He's collecting tax. I'm accounting books. They now carry, they say, employment in tax office. They now put you inside. Brethren, before you start work, what do? You go and pray. And it's a simple prayer. That's what I want us to read. Quickly, let's read it and we'll go. Simple prayer. That's Psalm 19. We'll just read this, meditate on it, and then we'll go. We may pick it up from there next time. Psalm 19, quickly. Are you there? We'll read from verse 12 to verse 14. Now, let me start from verse... you know what I'm going to do? I'll start from verse 7. When I get to verse 12, you join me, okay? We'll now read to 14 together. Let me just start from verse 7. It said, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned.
In keeping them, there is great reward. Now, this is what we need to correct. Verse 12. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now you have 1 minute. We are going to close now. Meditate on 12 to 14 as a prayer. Now we've seen the promises. We've dedicated the promises. Now take this 12 to 14 as your own prayer. The precepts, he talked about them in the preceding verses. Now these are my prayers, he said. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. It's a request. Like remember we said, what do you want him to do for you? We've seen the promises. Okay, Lord, what do you want him to do? Keep me, Lord, from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. He said, who can discern his errors? We say sometimes there are hidden things you don't know. Sometimes there are hidden things we don't know. Acquit me, Lord, of hidden faults. Keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Don't let me fall into them. Keep me from the evil one, as you have promised. John said, the Holy One keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Now, get practical. All right? Like I said, you're a tax collector. Say, Lord, let me not be covetous. When, just like in the days of Jesus, when people are filing, you know, why am I billing them taxes higher than I should? Maybe so that they can come behind and see me. They do to some, maybe my colleagues do it. Lord, let me not ever do it. It's a prayer you will pray. Say, Lord, let me never collect money to reduce somebody's tax. It's a simple prayer. Practice. Practical thing. It's very practical. Look at the error of your profession. Those of us who are preachers, say, Lord, let me not twist your word to increase church attendance. Let me not twist your word to increase offerings. Let me not twist your word to persuade somebody to give. Let me not be manipulative with your word. These are the risks of the profession. Sometimes, I've heard people say, preachers say it before. They say, hey, after all, the money we are looking for. One man, I was there, he said, they say we are always looking for money. It's not to build the church. But you're always looking for money. And it is bad. A bad thing is a bad thing. It's not good. So stop giving, you know, excuses. That's what he meant by presumptuous sins. You ask the Lord, say, this is the risk of this profession. Paul said, I have coveted nobody's silver and gold. Say, Lord, make that my testimony. Say, Lord, make that my testimony.
Let's begin to thank the Lord. Let's say, Father, we thank you for, again, stirring our hearts to truth and righteousness. Let's thank you, Lord, because power is available. I truly want you to thank the Lord. Just take like 1 more minute to say, Father, thank you.